Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, as we stand at our feet in honor of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And the Bible says, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by the reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 5. It says, I stood between the Lord and you. And I want to preach on that tonight, standing between the Lord and you. Let's pray together. Father, please have your way. We thank you for the time you've given to us already. Our hearts have been stirred up, and we're thrilled to hear these songs sung about you and about heaven. We're excited about what we have before us. Now we've come to the time of the preaching, and I pray that tonight you'd help me to stand and preach in power and truth and the unction of the Spirit of God. Help me not to stand in the ability of myself, but Lord, I pray that you'll help me to stand in thy strength. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. We need you to speak to us tonight. We need you to do a great work. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Moses was speaking here to Israel, and he's talking to them about the judgments, about the statutes, about the Word of God, about the things that God had to say. And I was thinking about the great statement that we find in the chapter before this. In chapter number 4 at the very beginning, actually in verse number 2, we see that Moses says something here. It says, Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. The Lord speaking to Moses. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. And I was thinking about how God's given us His perfect word. And I was thinking about how that nothing has to be added to it, nothing needs to be added to it, because it's perfect in every way. It's complete in every word that is given to us. No man has the authority, if you will, tonight, to diminish or to take anything from this book. People may try to change the book in print, but that doesn't change it in heaven, does it? The Bible says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What we need to understand tonight is that before there was ever one word written, it was already settled in heaven. Before Moses wrote those things, before we find the writings of the minor prophets, before we find the writings of David and the writings of the kings and the chronicles of the kings and the writings of Samuel and we find Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, before any of those things were ever written, it was already settled in heaven. And here in our text tonight, as we look at this, we have an understanding. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that the Word of God is true. And in our text tonight, Moses is talking to the children of Israel about their past. And he calls them to remember some things. He calls them to remember the Sinai experience when God gave them the law of the commandment. He wants them to know that God gave them something that's permanent, that's true, that's real, that's forever settled. He gave them these laws. In verse number 5, Moses is reviewing one of the most sacred moments, I believe, in his life. Notice what he says. He says, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. Tonight, as I think about the sacredness of the Word of God and the preciousness of the Word of God, I think about the people that God has placed here. In this verse, we have three people, three groups, or three different people or people groups mentioned, and I want us to look at these tonight, and I hope it'll get a hold of you, and I hope that is reveal what I say is revealed to you in the way that they'll help you to understand this message that I'm trying to get across. We see these three things that I think will help us to understand things even about our life. First of all, we see the Lord. The Bible says, I stood between the Lord and you. And I look at this tonight and I think about the Lord and who He is. This is the one that Moses speaks about so sacredly and so gloriously. And I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves, who is the Lord to us? There was a time, and I'm going to be preaching on this, when Moses stands before the people and he says, who's on the Lord's side? Tonight I think that we need to take a survey again. And we need to find out who's on the Lord's side. But Moses realizes that it's all about the Lord. Everything that he has done and all the things that's brought him up to this point, it was about the Lord and the will of God for their lives. And Moses had been told about the Lord, if you'll remember, by his mother. It's a great story, isn't it? Don't you like the story of Moses when he was a baby and how that Pharaoh was going around and they were going to take all these babies and his mom put him in the little basket there in the bulrushes and Pharaoh's daughter found him and then somehow, just by happenstance, they got Moses' own mother to be the nurse of that little child that they found. God's so good, isn't he? Moses knew the Lord. And Moses realized how great the Lord was. And I can imagine that as a little child, how we can just see in our minds little baby Moses being raised up in the home of Pharaoh, sitting on his mother's lap. And his mom telling him all about the things that had been passed down from generation to generation to her. And she'd be telling him about the Lord and how God created the heaven and the earth. How do you think he got to write all this? He wasn't around when the things that happened in Genesis took place. How did he find out all these things? Because God had a woman prepared to have a baby. And this baby was going to be somebody that was going to grow up and write the first five books of our Bible. This inspired word that we're talking about and the things that have been passed on and no doubt writings that she had read and things that she had known. And so she nurses him as a baby and he sits on his mother's lap and he hears about the Lord. And then Moses meets the Lord one day. He meets the Lord at a bush that's burning yet not consumed. Moses knows the Lord. And Moses realizes how great the Lord is. And he has an understanding of the people, how the people need to know the Lord. And then Moses experienced the working of the Lord. You remember in Egypt how that God came to Moses and called him out and said, I want you to serve me and live for me. And how God chose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and then led them to a Red Sea experience where they had nowhere to look and nowhere to turn to but up. And when they looked to God, God split the Red Sea and they walked over on dry ground. Moses says we need to understand who the Lord is. And tonight I'm declaring unto you that it's time for us to remember who God is. We live in a generation that's lost sight of Him as the Lord. And the fear of the Lord doesn't seem to exist in today's society except in the hearts of a few believers. We live in a TV generation, don't we? Electronic generation, I guess you could say. It's not only the television anymore, but it's the computer and all these ideals and all these things are out there and they're destroying the things of God. They're making a mockery of the things of God. We have a generation that's accepted a God produced by godless people. Most everyone here, I'm sure, watches television. I'm not going to stand and say that's wrong or that's right. I believe that's a conviction that you come to, between you and the Lord. But I think every one of us would say that we never see Christianity given to us in a positive form on television, ever. And what we do is we'll sit there and we'll watch a program that mocks the things of God and watch and say, I cannot stand that. I think it's time sometime we turn the TV off. There's things coming on TV where men are with men and women are with women, women are with women. And I say tonight it's time that we quit seeing things like that. Who's on the Lord's side? Is God still God? Moses said, I stood between the Lord and you. He's reminding himself of who the Lord is. He's reminding them of who the Lord is because he stood between the Lord and the children of Israel in a time of great difficulty. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But sometimes I think we need to be reminded all over about the holiness of God, about the glory of the Lord, about the might of the Lord, and about how that if we have iniquity or we're allowing things to come into our lives, we're watching things we should not watch, we're listening to things we should not listen to, then we're pushing God out. And that's what was happening with the children of Israel. God had been so good to them, and God blessed them in a great and mighty way, and they were pushing the Lord out. The Lord was ready to destroy the children of Israel, if you'll remember. But he didn't. Tonight I say we need to take an inventory of our lives and we need to be honest and we need to find out who God is to us and what he means to us. And the Lord that Moses was speaking about is the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of glory. He's the judge of all men. And best of all, he's the Lord of love, isn't he? He loves us. I heard a story about a man that worked in a slaughterhouse. And for years he was asked, he had worked there for years and he was asked why he quit his job one day. He said for all those years he was the one that actually killed the cows. And the way that he did it, he would take the cow by the head, and this is a little graphic, I guess you could say, and he would put his arms around the neck and he would lift up the head and he would stab a knife in their heart. Take the life of the cow. Did that for years. He didn't realize that at this place, after all them years, that this company owned other, they also provided other meats, and one day there was a lamb that he was going to take its life. Said he brought that lamb in and he took his head, held it in his arms, and he stabbed that lamb in the heart. And said there was the blood on his hand. And said before the lamb died, he turned and started licking the blood off of his hand. And he said, I threw my knife down and said, I'll never kill another animal. Now, God gave us animals. So you don't stop because of this. God gave us this. They're a source of food that God has given to us. If you're a vegetarian tonight, then God bless you. I'm not saying anything bad about that. But I'm saying tonight, it's an amazing thing how that God likens his son to a precious lamb. And how many times we stab the lamb in his heart. And he turns around with a hand of mercy and a hand of love. And he hugs us. He takes us close to him. And he says, I know you've hurt me, but I want you to know I still love you. That's the Lord we're talking about. When the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, instead of pronouncing a curse on all those that crucified him, that nailed him, that mocked him, that spit upon him, instead of pronouncing a curse, he said, Father, forgive them. He's the Lord of love, isn't he? Tonight we need to remember who the Lord is. Another thing we see in this verse, another person is you. The yous. He says, I stood between the Lord and you. Of course, when we look at this, we see that these people that Moses stood between had done enough wrong to cause Moses to hate them and to forget them. But this servant of God stood between them and the Lord with a magnificent love. We think about this. I want you to just to think about everybody around us as one of those that we're to stand between those people and hell. We're to stand for them and try to reach them with the gospel. Moses, if you'll remember, was angry with Israel so many times. But I think the greatest time was no doubt when he was up on the mount. If you'll remember, while he was up on the mount, they got together and they assumed Moses had died. Wasn't coming back down. They said, let's bring all of our jewelry, all of our gold, and all of our medals. Let's bring it and we'll build us a calf. You remember that story? And Aaron, I believe Aaron was the starter of maybe the Big Bang Theory or evolution. Listen to this statement. Moses comes back. He sees what's going on. He sees the people dancing around this golden calf. And he comes to Aaron and he says, what have you done? And listen to Aaron and what he says. Back in Exodus chapter 32. And I said unto them, Aaron said, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Yeah. I threw it in the fire and a calf showed up, you know? He was so scared, no doubt, when he was talking to Moses. I can imagine he was shaking, he was nervous, because he knew that Moses walked with God and he had just been in the presence of God and he didn't know what to say. He said, all I know is I told him to bring the stuff here, I threw it in the fire, and here comes a calf. Bang, it was there. Heard Tom Sexton say something, preach about this. He said, it doesn't put everything in here. Said, Moses looked at him and said, you idiot. Are you crazy? But Moses was angry and he couldn't believe what had happened. Well, you know the story here. God was ready to destroy the children of Israel. God said, I'm going to take them. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And Moses was angry, no doubt. Now God knew what he was doing here. And Moses began to weep before God. And he said, please don't take their lives. I'd rather you take me and put a curse on me. I'd rather you blot my name out of your record than for you to do away with the children of Israel. And if we're going to make a difference in this world, we're going to have that kind of attitude. We're going to have to stand up for the youths, those people that are out there. We're going to have to be what Moses was to them. By the way, we need to realize that it's our responsibility to stand between those that are living and hell. And we're to do our best to keep people out of hell. Everybody around us is one of those yous. And I want us to think for a moment about the people called you. It was for you that this church was built. It was for you that God has called preachers and allowed them to stand behind the pulpit and given us teachers to teach our classes and brought deacons and help and people to help throughout the years. It was for the yous of this world. And we need to continue to exist to get this job done. Because the truth about it all is, you are worth something. Everybody that's ever been born is worth something. They're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how much they're worth. And Jesus shed His blood for them. You are important. We need to see that. Then I want you to see the third, and this is the I. I, Moses said, stood between the Lord and you at that time. Well, I think it's important for us to take an inventory and to consider just that new estimate of the yous and the Lords and get it settled in our heart that the Lord is high and holy and he deserves to be exalted and lifted up. It's also important to see the yous in this world. Thank God there was somebody that cared for you. Thank God there was somebody that preached the gospel to you. Thank God there was somebody maybe that handed a gospel tract to you. Thank God there was somebody that prayed for you. You think about that. Who was it? It was the eyes. I stood between the Lord and you. Moses is bringing back the children of Israel, and he's reminding them of what God has done. He reminds them of Sinai. He reminds them of the Red Sea. He reminds them of the deliverance of God. And he says, this is who the Lord is. And you turned your back on the Lord and you threw in the gold and out came a calf, whatever you want to say, but you were worshiping a golden calf. You had another idol before you. And I'm telling you, God was getting ready to destroy you, but I stood between the Lord. And you ain't that amazing? That's an amazing thought to me. I stood. We need some people that's willing to be the eyes of this verse. Not E-Y-E-S, I, apostrophe S, the eyes. We need to be an eye. We need to stand between the Lord and these maybe that have turned their back on God, these that have never received Christ as Savior. There's no greater responsibility that could come in the life of Moses than at this very moment when he said, I stood. Just think about it. Me, standing between somebody going to heaven or not. The action of Moses saved a generation of children of Israel. And our actions could help save a soul from hell. What we do with our life, being obedient to the will of God, could change families, could mend homes, could bring encouragement to those that are so discouraged they don't think they can make it another day. But we're going to have to be willing to take our stand. We're going to have to be willing to take our stand and bring people to the Lord. There's preachers that stands. There's teachers that stands. There's deacons that stands. There's people that work in the music ministry that stands. The individuals. I stood between the Lord and you. And we know what this is talking about. In understanding the sovereignty of God, we know that God knew what Moses would do. We have an understanding, but Moses still had to do what he did. He made his choice. You remember we talked this morning about how God doesn't make us robots. He gives us choices to make. Many of us have already made the choice to trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But dear friends, we need to make the choice that we're going to do with our life God's will. And we're going to stand between those that are in this world in hell. And we're going to do our best to try to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. God knew in His sovereignty what Moses would do. And God knows what we're going to do. But He gives us the choice. See, He's the sovereign God. We cannot get beyond that. He's a God that knows everything. He's a God that's already in our tomorrow. So He is a sovereign God and He already knows what's going to happen. But I'm asking you tonight, what choice are you going to make? Because He's given you the choice. He's helped you. He's brought you through the Red Sea. He's delivered you. He's promised you a home in heaven. Now we need to take our stand. And we need to try to do our best to bring people to the Lord. We have a responsibility as individuals. God blesses us, and when He blesses our church, you want to know why? He blesses our church through the efforts of individuals. It's not the corporate thing, you know. It don't just happen. Why do people come? It's because you invite people. Why people get saved? It's because you speak to people. And by the way, there'll be more people that'll continue to come to this church, not because of who the preacher is, but because of who you are. If you want the church to grow, you have to get involved. And when you find people coming through the church doors, y'all never let visitors sit alone unless it's their choice. You ought to go and befriend them. Find somebody, you see somebody, it looks like maybe your age. Go say, hey, would you like to come up and sit with us? They may come back because of you. Even if the preacher's rotten sometimes, they'll come back because they find the people that love them. That's taking our responsibility. It's going out into a world, the places where we work and the places where we shop, the places where we play, and it's representing the Lord the right way. That's taking our stand for the Lord, isn't it? I stood between the Lord and you. The Lord's a Lord of judgment, but He's given us a responsibility to bring people to Him. May we fulfill that responsibility. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. And we want to thank You for loving us. We know how much You love us, Lord. Can't comprehend it, but we know You do. You've been good to us. I think about these things. I think about Your word being forever settled and how, because Moses stood, Lord, Your word is continued. Or because Moses cared, He gave his life to doing whatever it is You wanted him to do. Lord, I thank You for that. Now help us, Lord, to see these three people. The Lord. Lord, may be high and holy. Lord, help us to see You. Lord, those people that the eyes have to take that stand for. And Lord, may we make a difference. Well, thank You for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.